Ladies, your women's Bible study will begin on June 5th. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can begin signing up for that. Also, you're going to have a night of praise and worship a week from today over there in the gym. If you're in high school or college and graduating from high school or college, we want to honor you. And so Wednesday, May 25th, we're going to have a special service here acknowledging those that are graduating from high school or college. We're also going to have a band with us that night, a band that's been with us before, Temple Vale. They're a neat band, neat group of guys. And so they'll be sharing with us on May 25th, and also we'll be recognizing those who are graduating. And then afterwards, we're going to have a big cookout together as a church. So kind of a fun Wednesday night. If you're graduating, sign up for that. Let us know and give us your name. There's a place for you to sign up there in the lobby. Also, the children's ministry is looking for help at all services for the summer quarter. So if you'd like to help in the children's ministry, please see some of the folks up there at the information booth. And I believe that's all for now, other than I've been meaning to tell you for a few weeks. And we got a thank you card, really nice thank you card, dear Calvary families at Sun City. The missionary that we support from China, Sean Frazier. Remember I told you a few weeks ago that they had to make an emergency trip back because his dad was dying. They all got back, and they were able to say goodbye to him before he went to heaven. It was a beautiful thing. And I asked if we could help with their airline tickets. $2,300 came in from this congregation to help them. Thank you. The generosity of this congregation blows my mind. And Sean was deeply, deeply touched by the help we were able to give them. That's called supporting missionaries and showing the love of Christ. So thank you for those of you who were a part of that. This morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And while you're doing that, why don't you stand up and say Happy Mother's Day to Ed, who stood up. Kidding. Acts chapter 9, we're skipping ahead a little bit to verse 32. We'll go back next week and cover what we're skipping today, but this morning we're going to start in verse 32 of Acts chapter 9. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would, Lord, capture our attention. Lord, I thank you for the role models, the examples in your word, the men and women that have gone before us, who have shown us that it's possible to live supernatural lives, incredible lives. Father, I pray that we would live those lives today in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In honor of Mother's Day this morning, I'd like to consider the life of a wonderful, godly woman. Her name was Tabitha, and she lived in the city of Joppa, which is modern-day Jaffa, located about 11 miles southwest of Tel Aviv. It's one of our first stops when we tour Israel. It's a beautiful port city. In fact, Joppa means beautiful. And Tabitha was a beautiful woman in a beautiful city. We meet her in the context of a short-term mission trip that the Apostle Peter is on. He's traveling around in that area. He's preaching and he's teaching, and amazing things are happening through Peter. Look at verse 32. It says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda." Now that's modern-day Lod. That's where the Ben-Gurion International Airport is today, about 30 miles away from Joppa. So Peter shows up at Lydda, and he meets with a very small group of Christians, small group of believers, but it won't stay small for long, for look what happens in verse 33. It says, "Then he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed." A quadriplegic is the language here. No feeling from the neck down. Imagine for 8 years being in a bed. And in ancient times, how difficult that was. And his family caring for him. Verse 34, "And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately, so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Now that is a mind-blowing miracle. A quadriplegic, completely, totally, instantaneously healed, immediately gains all of his strength, no therapy, able to get up, makes his bed. Mom, wouldn't that be a miracle if your teenagers immediately arose and made their bed? But here is a miracle. Here's a guy who gets up and he gets saved. There's no doubt he becomes a believer. And everyone in the city who knew this man, and probably most of them, came to the Lord and they got radically saved. That whole town is changed. By the way, there's always a higher purpose behind physical miracles. Did you know that? And you see that as a pattern in the book of Acts. When God heals somebody in the book of Acts, it's not just for physical healing. It's always to draw people to Christ for spiritual healing. That miracle is used to draw people to the Lord. And just like what happens here in Lydda, all these people come to Christ through it. All right, while that's going on, 30 miles from Lydda at Joppa, we read verse 36. "At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha," which is translated Dorcas. Tabitha was her Aramaic name. Dorcas was her Greek name. I'm sure she preferred her Aramaic name. It says, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. So here's this beautiful woman. I call her the jewel of Joppa. But tragedy strikes. Verse 37 says, "But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in an upper room." We have no idea what kind of sickness she contracted. All we know is that it was deadly. It killed her. This dear, beautiful woman of God has died. And as was the custom, they immediately washed her body, would have anointed it with spice, probably wrapped her in linen, took her to the upper room where all the mourners would come to mourn. Well, look what happens, verse 38. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with him. What a heart-breaking, tender scene. This woman has died. Peter's around. They go get Peter. Peter shows up. He goes to the upper room, and there she is. Her body's laying on the table there. And in the room, it's packed with widows. And they're holding up the garments and the tunics that Tabitha had made for them. Verse 40. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Man, I got to tell you, these are big time miracles in this passage. We have the healing of a quadriplegic, and now we have the resurrection of Tabitha from the dead. Clear from the text, she died. She was being mourned. Now she's raised to new life. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the reaction to all that? By the way, just so you know, this isn't Peter doing the miracles, right? This is Jesus doing miracles through Peter. In fact, in the first case, you remember where Peter said to that man, Jesus the Christ heals you. It's not Peter. You never get caught up with God's people. It's always Jesus, the one who's doing the miracles through his people. Amen? So she's raised from the dead. And look, the pattern, verse 42. It became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed on the Lord. So it was that he, Peter, stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. So the miracle takes place. Everyone in the city hears about it, and all these people come to Christ. So many people are coming to Christ that Peter has to stay in Joppa for a while to minister to all those people. So that's the backdrop. That's the story for Tabitha. Now, I want you to see her example. I want you to see some characteristics about Tabitha. First, her name. Tabitha. It means gazelle. The Greek equivalent Dorcas also means the same thing, gazelle. Now, according to the Hebrews saw the gazelle as a strong, graceful, charming, beautiful creature. If a guy called you a gazelle back then, ladies, that meant he liked you. Man, he was really, really attracted to you. In fact, there's a book in the Old Testament that's called the Song of Solomon. And it's a book that celebrates romantic love. It celebrates the marriage relationship and all aspects of the marriage relationship, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, the spiritual. And there are several times in that book where the husband says to his wife, "You're my gazelle." Tabitha lived up to that name. Tabitha was strong. Tabitha was graceful. She was charming, chaste, very, very beautiful on the inside and out. Now, this world offers its definition of beauty, feminine beauty. The world says that a beautiful woman is sexy, seductive, perhaps even a little over-the-top raunchy. This world, this society, will say that a really fun woman is somebody, you know, it's a girl who's obnoxious, loud, boisterous, can drink with the boys. Party animal, life of the party. Crazy. That's not beauty. Don't buy the world's definition of beauty, my sister in Christ. Tabitha is beautiful. Can you imagine Tabitha being this loud, obnoxious woman? Flaunting her body around. It's a quiet beauty. It's character. It's tenderness. It's gentleness. You know, the New Testament tells us that we are to adorn ourselves with the doctrine of God. You know, everybody's so wrapped up on what they wear, how they look, and all this. Listen, it's okay to look your best, as it's been said, if the barn needs painting, paint it. But don't get caught up with that. Don't get all caught up with the fashion and all that. Adorn yourself with Christ. His love. That's what Tabitha was like. I want you to notice what she's called in verse 36. You may not have noticed this, but it says at Joppa there was a certain what? Disciple named Tabitha. Oh. Tabitha was a disciple. She was a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we know that she was a believer. She had come to a point in her life where she had received Jesus. She had been born again. She had been filled with the Spirit. But even beyond that, she had become a disciple of Jesus. Now, a disciple of Jesus is a learner of Jesus. You can think of a disciple of Jesus Christ as a full-time student of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who passionately pursues Jesus to know Jesus for the sake of knowing Jesus. That's Tabitha. She passionately pursued Jesus. Now, a disciple of Jesus Christ is also a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I mean somebody who is going to follow Jesus. No matter what the cost. Jesus himself gave us the requirements for discipleship. In Luke chapter 9, these are Jesus' words. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Tabitha, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, had come to a point where she denied herself. She no longer lived in pursuit of her own interests. She wasn't caught up with self. Jesus had replaced all of that. She followed him. She was a hard worker for Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ will also take up his cross daily. So Tabitha, as a disciple, took up her cross daily. What does that mean? What is the cross? It's an emblem of suffering. It's sacrifice. That's where the Son of God suffered and sacrificed himself. So a disciple of Christ must be willing to live a sacrificial life for Christ, willing to suffer for Christ. Tabitha was willing to do that. There's a wonderful picture of discipleship on the seal of the Baptist Missionary Union. It's got a beautiful picture on it. It's a picture of an ox standing with a plow on one side and an altar on the other side. And the legend below reads, "Ready for either." That's what a disciple is. Ready for the plow. I'll work hard for you. Or I'm ready for the altar. I'm ready to be sacrificed. Either one, Lord. Either one. That was Tabitha. Again, this world will offer its definition of success. You have to be this way. You have to look this way. You know, the world teaches us to look out for self, doesn't it? To be consumed with self. To promote yourself. To build an empire for self. Pamper yourself. No, true success is living the selfless life. Disciples of Jesus Christ. I believe the most beautiful women on the planet are disciples of Jesus Christ. The most beautiful people on the planet are disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, I refer to Tabitha as the jewel of Joppa. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." You know, this world has its version of stars. You know, the celebrities and all the glitz. You know who are stars in God's plan? Those who turn many to righteousness. Those who are disciples. It says, those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Tabitha was a disciple. What else it says of her in verse 36? It says, this woman was full of what? Good works. Good works. This is the Greek word plaros. There's two meanings to it, which means full. It can mean, first of all, to be have something completely full. Like think of a glass of water that's full to the brim. And that would certainly apply to Tabitha. Her life was filled with good works. But there's another meaning to this word. It means to be complete. Tabitha was complete in good works. The complete package. And the idea here is, here was a woman who knew how God had gifted her, who knew what God had called her to do, who knew what her ministry was. And she did it. She was complete in it. Whole life just filled with these good works, complete in good works. It's so beautiful. By the way, just so you know, good works will not get you to heaven, right? You cannot get to heaven by good works. You do not get saved by good works. Why? Because we can never do enough good works. And no matter how many good works we do, we always have a few bad works thrown in, don't we? Because we're all sinners and we need to have our sins washed away completely. So we don't get saved by good works, but the Bible says you are saved for good works. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You are not saved by good works. You're saved by faith in Christ. But then he goes on to say, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So Tabitha was this woman who had been gloriously saved, born again, changed, and her life just becomes a channel. Just a channel of good works. That should describe every one of us as Christians. Just an outpouring of good works. It says also that she was full of charitable deeds, which she did. Charitable is the Greek word that literally could be translated the giving of alms. The giving of alms. You know what that means? That's the ancient way of saying feeding the hungry, helping the homeless, reaching out to the less fortunate in the community. She was filled with that. Tabitha was a woman of great compassion towards the less fortunate in the community of Joppa. It seems that she worked tirelessly to care for others. And you know what her specialty was? I love this. Clothing. Becomes clear to me that she made clothes for poor people, for widows. You know, widows in those days, they had it really, really tough. Tabitha made clothes for poor people. They're in the upper room when she's dead. She's surrounded with all these widows. Look at my garment. Look at the tunic that this woman had made for me. Now, it was hard to get clothes back then. You didn't have department stores. Everything wasn't automated. There weren't any sewing machines. Think about that. Every item of clothing was handmade. It took skill. It took labor. It took a lot of time. I'm willing to bet that Tabitha probably had a clothing business. That's probably how she supported herself. And yet out of that business, she was probably giving most of her clothes away to the poor. Just a heart full of charity, compassion. I think there's another characteristic about Tabitha that definitely comes from the text. I think Tabitha was a servant. She was a servant. She served other people. Did you know that Jesus said the greatest people on the face of the planet are servants? The greatest people in the kingdom of God are servants. People that serve other people. And again, think about the world. It's so backward. For us, the greatest people are those who get served by the most people. It's totally backwards. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 10, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, my disciples. Whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Greatness in the kingdom of God is servanthood, and it's having that servanthood mentality, no matter what position of authority or power that you occupy. You could be a CEO and be a servant. We all should be servants. I've always loved the story that came out of the American Revolution. A man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. And their leader was shouting instructions but making no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I'm a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. The job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I will come and help you again." It was George Washington. There's a great man willing to roll up his sleeves, get in the trenches, and help some guys out. That's servanthood. Too many people are, "Hey, I'm Mr. Corporal, Mr. Big Shot. I don't do work." Greatness is serving. Tabitha served. One more characteristic I want you to notice about Tabitha. She was deeply missed when gone. When she died, that community mourned. You see, it's really, really, really hard to replace a woman like Tabitha. In a community, in a church, in a family. She was like this resource, this exhaustive resource of love and compassion that touched so many people's lives. In January of this year, the world received news that David Bowie died. Remember that? And then in the same month, we received news that Glenn Frey died. A couple weeks ago, we received news that Prince died. And it's always interesting to me how the world mourns, literally mourns the death of a pop star. The celebrities, and they probably don't even know them personally, right? Now, I understand, I get it, I know why that's done, but far greater is the consequence to a community that loses a woman like Tabitha. Far greater. That's why when she was healed miraculously, risen from the dead, can you just see the joy? She's back. Although I wonder if she really wanted to come back. I always feel sort of sorry for those who are raised from the dead. Are there Tabithas in this community? Are there Tabithas in this church? Mom, are you the Tabitha in your family? Oh, how we need that. Sincerely missed when missing in action. This is a challenge for all of us this morning. You know, the world, again, has its definition of everything that's successful and beautiful and important. Where are you? In order to live a life like Tabitha lived, you have to have supernatural power. You cannot do something like that on your own. And it's a good thing because the scripture says we can have supernatural power to live lives just like that. Just like that in this community. But it comes by first coming to Christ, asking him to be your Savior. Becoming born again and then filled with his Spirit. And then become a disciple. Passionately pursuing Jesus. Committed to Jesus. And then watch him. Watch him show you where you belong, what your ministries are, what your gifts are, and then go out and be complete in that and impact people for Jesus Christ. Father, I pray as we close that you would bless the moms here. Greatly encourage them. Father, I pray that you would bless all my sisters here, perhaps even those who want to be a mom but have not yet been able to become one. You know, if that's you, don't let that define you. You go out and you serve the Lord. It's very likely that Tabitha was not a mom or a wife. I mean, that's not mentioned in the text that we just read. So as a single woman, she did all that. You can do that. My sisters in Christ, you can be used in mighty ways. Dads, you too. Single guys, you too. So, Father, I pray that you would call us to that life and that you would enable us, Lord, that we would find our strength in you every single morning. Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. You may be here this morning and you've never received Christ. You say, I wish I could live this life. I wish I could be filled with good works. It's just, listen, you have to be born again. And you can. You can be born again. You have to have the help of God for a life like that. If you've never received Christ, you can do so right now. Right now. He died on the cross for your sins and he rose again. And he will come into your life and he will change you. In humility, bow your heart. Receive him right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you right now into my life. I place my faith in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Rising again. Come into my life. Invade my life. Fill my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Change me. Help me to live the rest of my life for what really matters and counts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.